Hey guys, it's your girl Carly Jones, and this is Makeup and Murder. Hey guys, I'm back. Welcome everyone to episode 3. I want to first get into the makeup. I know you guys are super excited. So I want to talk about the Jaclyn Hill Volume 2 palette with Morphe. You guys, it is insane. It is incredible. If you catched my photos on Instagram and Facebook over the weekend, I created this bomb ass black with a little bit of blue and pink in there, and it was just super, super gorgeous. Any color you can possibly want is in this palette between yellow, nude, black, purple, pink, you name it, is all in here. If you want one palette to travel with, this is your thing. This is your girl. You need it. Oh my gosh, and I forgot to mention, your girl's got a mic. Hey, I'm so excited. It sounds amazing. I hope it sounds amazing on your end because it sounds unbelievable on mine. But I'll let you guys be the judge of that. So, makeup's out of the way, now let's get into the case. Now, I will forewarn you, this is a heart-wrenching case. This is a heart-wrenching story. I will go ahead and let you know that listener's discretion is advised. Just giving you guys a heads up. It's an important case, but it is a very big heart-wrenching case. Just forewarning you. You ready? You guys, so today's episode is about 11-year-old Leva Frady. So it is said that approximately 76% of the missing children homicide cases studied, the child was dead within 3 hours of the abduction. You guys, I told you it was going to be insane today. And in 88.5% of the cases, the child was dead within the first 24 hours. Crazy thing is, the mother of 11-year-old Leva Frady did not report him missing until the following day. Not to say that the outcome of this horrific day would have been any different if it had been reported sooner. 11-year-old Frady lived on Burris Mill Road in Cummings, Georgia. Sound familiar? With his twin sister Lacey and mother Marilyn Parkman. In 1980, Marilyn Parkman met the twins' father, Milton Frady, and they met through work and were married on February 14, 1984. Milton Frady worked as a carpenter, and Marilyn worked customer service for an air conditioning company at the time. Just after 3 years, according to court documents, after the twins, Lacey and Leva, were born, the marriage ended, and their divorce seemed to be finalized February 2nd of 1989. It seems that Mother Marilyn was granted full legal custody of both minor children according to documents filed in the Superior Court of Forsyth County, Georgia. The area in which the Frady family lived seemed to be very calm and quiet. The twins, Lacey and Leva, were in sixth grade at the time. They attended North Forsyth School in Cummings, Georgia. It was said the two could not have been any more different. Lacey was giddy and enjoyed school, while Leva was quiet and the shy child. He loved being outside, riding his bike, and exploring the many acres of wood around his home, and had a love for music, and was also taught to play piano by his grandmother. But on October 22nd, 1997, just 7 months after his 11th birthday, he went missing. Leva Frady arrived home from school at approximately 3:30 p.m. Once he arrived home, Leva called his mother, Marilyn, and spoke to her at her place of work. Leva told Marilyn that he was going to a friend's home, which was less than a mile down the road on 5815 Noah Road in Dawsonville, which is Forsyth County. Towards the end of the phone call with his mother, she told him to be home by 6:30. Leva promised his mother he would be home for dinner at that time. Leva then ended the phone call. At around 4:15 p.m., Leva left the Frady home with his red bike and backpack and headed to his friend's home. The friend's name was Roman Martinez. Levi and Roman did their homework together quite often. With Levi, curfew come and gone, he had not arrived back home as of yet. Levi had seemed to lose track of time, so at approximately 6:38 p.m., he called home to speak with his mother, Marilyn. But Lacey, his twin sister, had answered the phone and told Levi their mother was in the bathtub, and that she had told him to leave Roman's home and come straight home. There has been other information I have read that during the calls and conversation with his sister Lacey, that he was to tell them that he was going to another friend's house for dinner and said, but nothing 100% concrete. Shortly after that phone call, Levi still had not returned home. At this point, his mother Marilyn got into her car and drove down to Roman's home and knocked on the door and had explained to Roman's mother that Levi was expected home. Roman's mother, Miss Martinez, had informed Marilyn that he had left a little earlier that evening to go to another friend's house for dinner. However, the other friend confirmed that Levi never showed up. Roman told Levi's mother that Levi did try to call home to inform her that he was going to another friend's home, but that she had been in the bath, which is what we discussed prior when Lacey, the sister, answered the call. But she seemed surprised and almost like Marilyn was not aware of this call, which to me is a little suspicious. Another part of the information I found was that approximately 6:45 p.m., Levi was headed home from that second friend's home, which according to that timeline, Levi had to have left Roman's home before 6:30 p.m. to make it to the second friend's home for dinner. A blog and website I read titled LeviFrady.com stated that he appeared to have taken a detour to avoid dogs that would run after him on his bike while traveling home on some days. Instead of Levi traveling down Picklesmer Road to get home, he went down Little Mill Road to avoid contact with those particular dogs like before. Residents stated the route Levi took was a long and dark road with not very many homes, and next to the homes there were creeks. One of those areas where if anything did happen, the neighbors would be too far away to notice anything. The blog continued to say that about 5 minutes into the commute, a resident in the area commented and told police that the individual saw him pedaling away with a small black dog behind him. When Levi had not returned home by 7 p.m. that evening, Marilyn called those second friends home where he was supposed to be having dinner, but no one answered. That's when Marilyn and Lacey left the Frady home to search for Levi. Now, I'm not sure if it was due to the fact that back then, child abduction was not a common thing since it was in 1997 and they didn't have a whole bunch of crazies like we do in 2020. But why wait that long to search for your son who had not returned home in over an hour now? I don't understand that. After doing their search around the neighborhood, they had no luck finding Levi. But in the moment, they did discover his red bike approximately 1 mile away from the Frady home. At around 8 a.m. the following morning, on October 23, 1997, Marilyn contacted the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office and reported that Levi Frady was missing. Over 100 law enforcement officers and volunteers then began searching the surrounding areas around Little Mill Road, which according to the GBI is a well-traveled road that runs between Highway 306 and Highway 369. Their efforts to find Levi were unsuccessful at that moment. Why on earth did Levi's mother wait until the following day to report him missing? That I will never understand. I guess she assumed he would have been staying over at his friend's house since he never returned home. But here's the thing, you call the friend's home and they don't answer. Sorry, but you bet your ass I'd be driving over to that house to make sure my baby was there. I'm sure any of you guys would as well. Levi's sister Lacey told the police that he had been late coming home quite often, but it had never been this late before. At 2 p.m. that same day, on October 23rd, 1997, hunters found Levi's body, bullet-riddled body, partially submerged face up in a water-filled ditch in the Dawson Forest Game Management Area in Dawson County, approximately 20 miles away from the Frady's home. I told you guys it was going to be intense. Autopsy reports revealed that Levi had been shot not once, not twice, but three times, once in the chest and twice in the head. They noted, per the report, he had not been sexually assaulted, but according to WDNUN, retired GBI agent Jim Hallman believed Levi's kidnapper had every intention to sexually assault him before whatever reason he or she killed Levi before any assault occurred. Levi's backpack was also found in that same area. There were some signs of struggle indicated per the sheriff's department, and it appeared he was shot in that same location where they found his body. A composite sketch was drawn up of two possible suspects in Levi's murder. They are looking for two individuals. One sketch of an individual in Dawson Forest that looked out of place and somewhat suspicious. Suspect one was seen on Little Mill Road in Forsyth County where Levi's bike was found. And suspect two was seen in Dawson Forest where Levi was murdered. The potential witness seemed that they had seen a small blue truck with a white camper, but they weren't completely sure. According to the ballistics side of the investigation, they stated if the gun was ever used again, they now have some information in regards to the shell casing and the cartridge of the bullet to compare it to. Investigators began to say that they believed a perpetrator could have acted out of fear or of straight anger, and it could have been someone he knew personally that got him into a vehicle. Or maybe was it even a total stranger? No one knows at this point. Kim Williams, who was a GBI special agent in charge of Northeast Georgia, told Forsyth County News in 2017 that to this day, leads still develop with this case. While there has been substantial leads that have been found, followed, and continue to be thorough through the years, Georgia officials have interviewed several people and have received huge numbers of tips, but not any arrests have been made in connection with Levi's death, leaving his case unsolved to this day. What law enforcement likely do not know was that Levi had started attending church. A minister close to the family said Levi was a boy that had decided he wanted to put his musical talents and go do something great. Per the minister, he had a strong understanding of what was right and what was wrong, and what was good and what was bad. There definitely must have been something a little off going on with him and the Frady family, per the minister. A Forsyth County sheriff also said and confirmed that Levi had actually made two 911 calls in the past 2 weeks leading up to his murder, but unfortunately law enforcement has not released those transcripts of those calls. I wonder why. Many questions roll through my head while digging in this case. Was Levi dead before? Was there a cover-up by law enforcement? Was it a drug deal gone wrong? Was Levi's dead body dumped? Who knows? There are just some things that do not add up. I found an article from 1997 that stated that the sister Lacey has spotted Levi's bike on Little Mill Road that day and apparently told the mother Marilyn, but when questioned by police, she takes no notice or knowledge of the daughter's claim. That's weird. What I also learned was that Milton Frady, which is Levi's father that we mentioned in the beginning of the episode, that he calls the day of October 23rd, 1997, to check on the twins. But I couldn't find out 100% who picked up the phone. Anywho, whether it was the sister Lacey or the mother Marilyn, but whoever it was stated that Levi was in the shower, which we know that couldn't have been true. Because at this point, he had not been seen since the night before. Odd thing was, according to an article from November 19, 1997, written by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Report, that Levi's home on Burrisville Road was never roped off as a crime scene, which clearly it should have been. Later on, two law enforcement officials did confirm that not only police, when they found the bike, they found footprints in the dirt near where the bike was laid, but that the bike Levi was riding that day had been moved from where it was initially found. Did Marilyn and Lacey move it? And if they did, why? Were they trying to cover something up? It turns out that there were no fingerprints anywhere on the bike either. Per a former Dawson County Sheriff's deputy who worked on the case in 1997 said it was wiped clean. Now, if that doesn't scream cover up, I don't know what does. A former Forsyth County Sheriff's deputy who had been assigned to guard the bike after it was located on Little Mill Road Thursday, October 23rd of 97, said that he noticed something unusual. The officer had crouched down and looked across the grass and said he could see footprints in the dew of the grass. But again, nothing else was said or done that we know of. There is so much we discover that sticks out to me that is so odd in this case. It now has been 23 years since Levi Frady was murdered, and the investigators still have no clue who did it. I heard quite a few 20-plus year cases being solved, and I hope with everyone talking again about this case, this will be the next one. Oh, and I almost forgot. Did you recognize the area where Levi's body was found? If not, it's okay. I will do the research for you. If you have not listened to episode 2 yet, go ahead and get on that so you can be in the loop. But anywho, Levi's body was found only 30 minutes away from where they found the body of Patrice Indris, just 7 years after. Connected? I don't know. Who knows? All right, people, let's keep talking. If you know anything or know someone who may know something about this case, please go to tips@gbi.ga.gov or call 1-800-597-8477. Now that is it. That is a wrap for episode 3. Please keep the Frady family in your prayers. I know it's been some years now, but when you're a mother and something happens to your baby, you want closure. And it's so crazy. It's been so long. We absolutely know nothing about what happened to him or who did it or whatnot. So just keep his family in your prayers. And yeah, let's just keep talking about it and see you guys on social media. Bye. Guys, that's it. I appreciate you so much for tuning into episode 3 of Makeup and Murder. Please, let's start this discussion on the case. Meet me back at the Makeup and Murder podcast on Facebook, as well as the Makeup and Murder podcast on Instagram. You guys, please stay safe. Watch your surroundings. Pay attention to your surroundings. Watch everyone around you and just be safe. Please be safe. Bye.